Hello, everyone. Thank you all so much for joining us today for ISOCA Live. I'm Dustin Brewer, the Senior Director of Emerging Technologies and Innovation here at ISOCA. And I'm really excited to be here today with Julia Herman, a member of our Emerging Technology Advisory Group. This is the fourth episode we've actually done in this Emerging Technology series. And we're going to look at where we basically look at different emerging technologies. And today we're actually going to be talking about cloud. So again, I want to thank Julia Herman. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to dive right in. So we've been talking about cloud basically or at least cloud computing for a very long time. The term has been around since at least 2006. It was introduced by Google. And let's talk about it came out in 2006, or at least the terminology came out in 2006, but why are we still considering this an emerging technology?
First of all, welcome. Thank you very much for having me. why is it still an emerging technology? I think mostly because many, many companies are still in the phase of just starting or having to start it to adopt cloud. When I look at my company business environment, I think the biggest challenge we have with cloud environments in general is finding the right skill resources to actually operate and design cloud environments, to build the connectivity between different cloud services, and to keep up with the pace of the development of all these cloud services. There are new features almost coming out daily on the big provider sites, and it's very, very difficult, in my opinion, to keep up with them and to keep up the governance on all across all these features, not only from a security perspective, data privacy, export control. You have a lot of countries that have laws in place that require you to keep data locally, and that's big, big challenges when you adopt cloud technology as an international company.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the things that we tend to forget about cloud technology in general is that it is kind of the enabler for all emerging technologies. We've talked about AI, we've talked about IoT, and those technologies by themselves have also been around for a very long time, but we really haven't, the cloud is almost acting as a catalyst for those technologies as well. So when we talk about AI, we need big data sets, right? Well, it was really hard, 15, 20 years ago for a company to have that much storage space on premise. Now we have these elastic, you know, storage spaces. We can have these humongous data warehouses, data sets that can help enable AI. And then also the processing power comes into play as well, where you have these, again, with cloud, you have this elasticity that kind of happens with processing power, with computer resources, with all those other things. So it not only is an emerging technology itself, but it enables other emerging technologies. And as you mentioned, now we're talking about, like, you know, we've had infrastructure as a service and software as a service, and now we're going into security as a service. It's basically everything as a service now is kind of being pushed into the cloud, which I think is another reason why we still can kind of consider this emerging technology and still talk about it. And you actually touched on something as well. You know, as we talk a little bit about why it's still an emerging technology, but as we look forward to 2022, you know, and you started talking about this a little bit, what's at the top of the mind of an enterprise who wants to adopt this, as well as security and audit professionals, for cloud specifically?
Well, if I speak for myself, and also what we see from other companies around us, is that the biggest challenge is keeping up with them, keeping the control over deployments of cloud services. So in many cases, it is still pretty easy for business people, just to pull out your credit card, start running a cloud service, and then it only gets to you by the time something doesn't work. And I think one big point that we see at the moment is also supply chain security that comes into play when you talk about cloud service providers. They have subcontractors who then again run parts of their cloud services they are offering to you. So the actual chain that you need to look at when you acquire services, or when you would also move your services to the cloud, becomes much bigger. And I think the knowledge also changes. The knowledge required in a company changes. You need to have much more oversight on your complete company architecture, because everything's interconnected now. It's not any longer the case that you have an SAP team that runs your ERP system, and you have an infrastructure team that runs your firewalls and your switches. They all need to talk to each other, and they, in the end, the big puzzle really needs to fit together. You don't have these small puzzles in their silos any longer. And also, when you have big infrastructures being moved to the cloud, like moving out your entire data center, you will have different service providers for different managed services in different areas of your cloud infrastructure. And also coordinating them, making sure that services run seamlessly, being operated by different managing service partners is I think, the biggest challenge that we'll face next year, in addition to actually kind of verifying the integrity of the suppliers and the services they are offering to a company. Well, on the other hand, of course, as you already mentioned, it gives us a lot of flexibility. So we as a company also do a lot of R&D. We also do R&D in the blockchain environment, in cryptocurrencies for national banks. We do R&D in AI, in like recognition technology for identities. And for us, it's also, of course, something to consider if you have big data lakes, you need storage, you need processing power. Do we buy these in on-prem systems that are there forever? Or do we go to cloud and say we can power them up for like 2 days and then you simply shut them down again? It depends on your data, but I think this is also the road to go, probably also for a company like GND.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, yeah, it's not anything I think that's going to really change. It's just going to keep expanding as to what it is, right? So we have all these great capabilities. Again, I've said the word elasticity so many times in this podcast or in this webinar. I'm sure you guys are sick of hearing about it, but that is one of the main things about it, right? Like you mentioned, you can just spin something up, test it out, see how it's working, test it out in your current infrastructure, see if it works. If it's not, spin it back down again. And you really haven't spent that much money, at least not on buying an entire server rack or, you know, whatever else it is, whatever other hardware you might need in order to run this. And with that, you know, I've kind of already, I already ruined this, but, you know, we talked a little bit about how cloud is an enabler for other emerging techs. And you mentioned blockchain. You guys were dabbling in some blockchain and AI stuff as well. When we talk about that, how, you know, really kind of diving into that, how has cloud changed the ecosystems for IT infrastructure and enabled other emerging technologies? So we've kind of already talked about how it does, but as far as like this ecosystem that's kind of being built around it, you know, how has cloud kind of changed that?
I think it's changed that because it's much, much easier to get resources in a very much shorter period of time. Before that, you needed to budget, you needed to wait on your hardware delivery, you needed to install the software. And now it's actually like a click and go. If you have a contract with one of the big providers, it's really like, you need a VM, here you go. You need this service, here you go. It's actually moved a bit to the opposite than like it was before. In some cases, I think it's a bit too fast. I'm a security professional, so I'm still a bit on this. Let's look at the risks first. Of course, we get much faster, and we also try to become with this. One of the most famous buzzwords, I think, of the year is agile. So, of course, we try to become a bit more agile in security as well and evaluate risks faster and also accept maybe risks a bit faster, try out, and then go to this fail fast process as well. Of course, it depends on the business process. But this is something that cloud has really enabled, that in certain areas of your business, you can really quickly move instead of having to run through these endless processes of acquisition, building. You need to have the physical rack space. You need to have the HVAC in place. This is often an issue in data centers, that you don't have enough power or cooling. And all these topics you don't have to worry about anymore when you move to a cloud system. Of course, there are other things you need to worry about. So I think it has just, in the end, it has shifted.
Absolutely. Yeah, now we have these third-party vendors that we really have to worry about. But all that other stuff, you're right, it's gone. It's not gone. It's just, you know, we don't need it anymore. It's not something that's needed if you want to spin up a new product, you want to try out something, you want to test something, if you need to expand your storage space for your company, if you need to enable a new software as a service or something like that. It's no longer a requirement to have that physical space, at least on our end, right, on the customer end. But it does have its own challenges. It's got, you know, you've got different MOUs and different waivers that you have to sign. And if you, as a security professional as well, like if you're looking at that infrastructure or enabling cloud in your current infrastructure, then you need like SOC 2 reports, right? And you need some kind of visibility into what's going on the vendor side, right? In order to attest, right? In order to make sure that they meet the standards that you need to meet because of regulations, there's a million different reasons as to why you would need that. But, and that's not always an easy thing, right? Vendors aren't always going to say, oh yeah, go ahead and, you know, launch a pen test against our cloud instance. Like there, no, that's not, not always the case, right? They're not always okay with stuff that we have been able to do with on-premise before. And so speaking of on-premise, you know, we've talked a lot about cloud and kind of moving to the cloud. Do we see that, you know, on-premise infrastructures, data storages and processing, do we kind of see things kind of shifting over to cloud for the most part? Or is traditional storage still going to be around in the future?
I think it will still be around in the future. For example, in our company, we have specific regulations that forbid us data processing in the cloud for certain business processes. So our strategy is to have like 90% of the office workers will be moved to this modern world, to a zero trust concept with their clients, with the services they enter, with strong focus on data-centric security, identity, and access management. And then we will always have this 10% that are very special high security area networks, air gap networks. They do common criteria software development, for example. You simply can't move those services at the moment to the cloud. So maybe we'll see a bit of a shift over the coming years, because my personal opinion is it's not really about security. I think it's just about compliance, in a sense that they trust what was there before and they trust in the secure operation when you keep it in your own physical location. But I really think we need to split those two worlds very clearly and then have for these small group of people that require high security, very specific services, have their own services and really enable the rest of our office workers to be able to live in this new modern world wherever they can. And of course, as secure as they can. And I think if you look at these two different worlds separately, you can make both of them secure. You, from experience, you make both worlds insecure if you try to combine them.
Right.
It's my or our kind of way forward and strategy for the next year to work on this, the bringing our office workers and users into a zero trust concept world. It will take time. It's nothing that happens overnight, but they shall be able to use these cloud services kind of from everywhere. That's the logic behind the concept. So I think, and this is also where cloud comes into play.
Yeah.
Where you can really leverage cloud services for usage, for your applications, for identity and access management. I mean, they're the big three ones are out there. And so it's no secret that most companies are moving to one of them, I think.
That's right. Absolutely. We do have these, you know, fringe companies that are trying to break into the cloud game, I guess you could say, but nobody really has it, you know, has it as well connected as the top three that we could talk about here. I'm sure that's fine, but I think everybody already knows who we're talking about. So and another interesting point you brought up is, you know, we've really shifted to, if they can be, enabling employees to work remotely. And the cloud has helped enable that immensely. I think we saw at the very beginning of the pandemic, we saw I think Italy saw an 800% growth or usage of cloud technologies, specifically software as a service technologies, which makes complete sense, right? If everybody's got to stay home and people can't go to the office, but you still need to, you know, do complete work, the collaboration tools and software, that's all on the cloud. It's not that you can't have those things on premise. You most certainly can. It's just that with something like you have way less of a bottleneck, and we've talked about the elasticity of the storage and the elasticity of the processing power. We haven't talked really much about the elasticity of the networking capacity as well. You know, we have, of course, most of you who are in IT know we have like content delivery systems and all kinds of really great new or older utilities that can help load balance and do all kinds of great stuff. And if you're talking about an 800% growth, the fact that the cloud was able to actually handle that, first of all, is really impressive. But it could happen, and it did happen, and it. You know, we definitely had some growing pains with it. I'd say at the beginning of the pandemic, there were definitely some security issues. We saw companies like Zoom go through it. We saw Microsoft had some issues as well. We saw some of these companies have really, really, I wouldn't say detrimental, but there were definitely some security issues that were pointed out very quickly. It was almost like those companies had gotten a bit of a taste of what open source is like when someone says, hey, I just tried this out and it worked and it broke this whole thing, or I was able to listen in on the Zoom chat, and there's all kinds of stuff going on like that. It was a really interesting kind of case, a scenario that we all live through, or a real world case scenario that we all live through. So, and again, it's not that you can't have these on-premise devices or on-premise infrastructures. It's just that, like you mentioned earlier, Julia, it's so much easier to launch. So, you know, something happens to the building you're in, something happened, like another pandemic, go forbid, right? Another pandemic happens, something else happens where you can't go into the office and you need employees to be able to have that access. You can spin it up on a cloud service provider much quicker than ordering all the stuff, building the rooms out, doing whatever else it is you need to do, and testing. And also, I almost feel like there is less of a security issue with that as well, because most cloud service providers have those security functionalities built in. Whether it's firewall, whether it's intrusion detection, you can actually add that on as a service usually, right? Of course, there's a fee that comes along with it, which makes sense.
We've also seen a big push for digitization. I mean, I'm located in Germany, so we're a traditional family-owned company still. So we had a lot of processes in the beginning of the pandemic that were still pen and paper. And in Germany also still now it's the case that you require a lot of wet signature documents. And this has received really a big push, digitizing those processes, introducing digital signatures, and also taking the risk of just having a digital signature and not always really the true wet signature on documents. I think we were a bit overrun by it due to the need in the beginning of the pandemic. But the good side of it was, of course, and for many companies in Germany or also in Europe in general, that they needed to jump on that train and go for digitization and enabling people to work remotely, because you simply couldn't do differently anymore. And I'm happy that we are still on that train, because I see some companies jumping off that train again and going back to having people back to work on premise, because they are not ready and they don't have the people and the skill set to keep up with the digitization and cloud services implementation. So that's, I think, can be also for next year a bit of a challenge, that people want to go, but they really can't, because they don't find the right skill sets to go securely into those cloud services.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And you know, we talked about 2022 and kind of what we see as a possible next step, you know, where cloud's going to go in 2022. But, you know, what do you think the future further than that, like maybe 5, 10, 15 years of cloud, or what's one thing, what do you think the future of cloud is going to look like? Or what's one thing that you really want people to kind of take away from our conversation that we're currently having about this, as far as the next phases of the cloud?
Personally, I think that in all our commodity services that we are going to use in the future will be software as a service, most likely, or maybe platform as a service, but I think mostly software as a service that must be really well interconnected. That's at the moment one of the biggest challenges, if you have different software providers in the cloud, to make sure they are well connected and you keep the control on where you are, at least the knowledge on where your data resides. And I think we will also probably move away from, like someone wrote it in the chat as well, from handing out physical workstations to people. I think hopefully in the future, everyone can bring their own device, whatever they want, and they will be given either access very securely to services directly on the cloud, or I think what's Kyle is referring to is probably things like Windows 365 or the enterprise version of it, like Azure Virtual Desktops, giving people access to those devices to work from those devices wherever they are. And then again, you talked about elasticity. For some tasks, you require more computing power, and for some, you require less. So you can also very easily scale those devices that you need for your daily work, and probably also kind of go to a pay-as-you-go model. If you don't use it, you turn it off and you don't pay for it. I don't know. Let's see. We see a lot of move from away from laptops for the regular office workers to the wish for just tablets. I'm not so convinced that this really might work, because then they want a keyboard and a mouse.
Right.
But maybe some more sophisticated, higher power tablets on the long term will work out. I think most companies won't operate their own data center anymore in the future. Maybe small data centers, but especially smaller companies will most likely have all their data in various cloud services. And then probably by the end of 2022, we talk about potential exit strategies from cloud services when you have too many small cloud services that shut down again or are bought by other companies. Then you really need to think about your data contingency strategy. How do you want to get your data out, or how do you want to transfer data potentially to another cloud service provider if you're not happy or if the features are not served any longer? That's something I think most companies haven't considered right now, that if you give all your data right now to the big ones or also to the small ones, there is no real way back. My opinion, but I think most of my colleagues share that opinion, that you just accept that risk, that there is no real exit strategy from moving to the cloud in the scale that most companies do now.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned two things during this whole webinar that actually came up in a user question here. Kyle Oliphant, he says, would you consider desktop as a service to be one of the more secure cloud offerings that would fall into the zero trust model? So you mentioned both zero trust, and you mentioned also using desktop as a service as a possible replacement. Do those two things kind of go hand in hand? Is it one of the more secure cloud offerings, or does it just have just as many of the same holes as any other system?
I think it depends on the actual cloud offering. So desktop as a service in the end can be anything. It depends on how it's hardened, how you configure the access to it, how you configure user authentication. That's kind of valid for all cloud services. It's no cloud service is secure in itself. So it's only as secure as you adopt it and as you implement it. So of course, if you follow Microsoft best practices, for example, or if you're Google or Amazon best practices, I think you're on a pretty good site. But I've seen cloud implementations that are completely off, that are a complete train wreck. So it's you can't rely on the fact that cloud services are secure just because they are cloud services. It's still the organizations and the IT and security people's responsibility to make sure that, and I think someone else wrote that as well, that you adopt your security policies to cover cloud and that you make sure they are applied to the cloud as well. They may be different, but there should also be security policies in place and audits in place on how cloud services are set up, how interfaces are set up. In the end, I think from a governance perspective, it's just another medium where we store our data and we work, but the processes, the control processes remain the same. And that's, I think, often forgotten when you move to cloud.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of remember when people first started asking, like, hey, when is Isoca going to come up with some cloud training? And, and I was like, cloud training? I was like, just learn Linux. I know that's a very reductive, simplistic view of it, and I don't mean to be reductive of how intricate cloud services can be, for sure. And one of my favorite sayings is always, there is no cloud; it's just somebody else's computer. Again, yep. Not to be reductive, but it's kind of true. This is an emerging technology, but it's still built upon these older technologies that we've been utilizing for decades now. Most of the controls still pretty much stay the same. how we implement those controls and how we govern those controls or how we audit those controls, that's a little bit of a different story, right? Once you bring in that third party vendor and you have to start looking at that stuff, it's no longer like, oh yeah, just log into the terminal and then you can check on the technical controls, right? It's like, no, you might not be able to, especially if it's software as a service or even platform as a service, right? You might, if you're not on the infrastructure as a service level with something, you might not have that visibility into what's going on the back end with a particular provider. Zero trust is, to me, is kind of one of the bigger, buzzwords that's kind of out there right now. Because zero trust to me is something that all of the practice, it's a methodology, right? All the practices that go into zero trust have been in security for a long time, right? From possibly since the inception of computer security was even around. It's just how you implement those. So do you see cloud kind of changing the way that zero trust goes? Or, is cloud really going to change anything with zero trust? Or is it just kind of more of the same, kind of what you mentioned earlier?
I think it will just bring more professionals to implement zero trust methodology. Because before, when you had everything on premise, you have your castle, you have your big door, you have your water around it. That's the picture that I always have in my mind with the crocodiles floating in it, and you can only get in through the big gate. And that changes. And in order to achieve that change and to make all these cloud services available from everywhere, I think you have no other choice than thinking about something like a zero trust strategy. So we talk about zero trust because we are relying on the NIST zero trust architecture model and the guidance on digital identity and stuff like this, because it all goes nicely hand in hand. And as you said, in the end, it's a methodology that was there for a long time. So you could have adopted that like 10 years ago. It just wouldn't have been called zero trust probably. But I think a lot of companies I see moving towards a zero trust model, even though they might not really be aware of it. But it's just, it's coming with the adoption of cloud, or it has to come with the adoption of cloud if you want to use it securely.
Okay. Yeah. No, yeah, completely agree. I think that, a lot of places might be already kind of zero trust modeled and they just don't know it yet. But once they like start looking at it, like, oh, we actually already do this practice. We do this practice as well. That's great. And Julia, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you so much for giving us your insight. Everybody who joined us today to watch live, or if you're watching this recording, thank you all so much for joining us as well. If you're interested in this topic, we have resources that you might actually be interested in ISOC as well. We have our Certified Emerging Technology Credential that includes a cloud certificate. So if you're looking to learn just kind of the basics or the foundations of cloud technology, feel free to take a look. And ISOC and the Cloud Security Alliance actually established a new credential earlier this year called Certified in a Cloud Audit Knowledge, or CCAK. Once again, thank you all so much for joining us. Thank you for your questions. Julia, thank you so much for all your insights.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And we'll see everybody next time.